Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 225 all the stanzas. How dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. My spirit longs, yea, even faints, at thy sacred courts to see. My thirsting heart and flesh cry out, O living God, for thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 225. Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, and thereof chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou dost bring us together in the evening of this work day with our children. And we may come off of the very streets of our town where there is such a contrast. Fathers and mothers with their children by the hand, and leading them in all the way wherein Satan does deceive, so that there is nothing that is to be kept from them that cannot destroy their soul, that can destroy their soul. And Lord, what maketh us to differ? For then we may see here also fathers and mothers who have brought their children also up unto the house of God. Others may listen by church telephone. And Lord, thou knowest all our hearts. O thou didst work a great work long ago that we may commemorate in this day. Thou didst protect thy church, which is so prone to stray, because our hearts, they have so much flesh yet in them, so that that truth that is not near sufficiently to our heart. But thou dost keep thy church, and thou dost watch over and protect it even unto the very end of the world. Oh, what a burden that was felt in those days when corruption had entered and when thy word was so far gone, when thy children had to bear up under that burden. But thou art no stranger of that way, as we have just heard out of thy holy word. For we have an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. For when thou didst walk here upon this world, then also the great corruption did exist in thy church. O thou didst reprove even those that did bring thy word, or those that did sit in the judgment seats. O Lord, that thou may keep us also in the days in which we live, that we may not stray from thy truth, that thou wouldst watch over that truth that has been given unto us through our forefathers who had experienced it, so that the love of it did live and burn in their hearts, so that they were ready to give their very life for the sake of that truth. Oh, how many have done so. Lord, that thou may teach us. Oh, lead us into it, that we also may be born again, and that we may receive that privilege that thou bearest unto all thy children. Oh, convert us as thou convertest all thy people. Do look upon the land in which we do live. O turn us again unto thy word, into thy testimonies. The ignorance is so very, very great, that men and old ones and young ones, they do have no idea of what thy truth is, living in a land where thy word that is so available, but that box of the devil that is sitting in the midst of each house, so that he may lead them unto that place where he dwells. Oh, that thou wouldst remember, give us also faithfulness, that we may speak as we are able unto those who are round about us, who have a soul as well as we, and who do perish, who are destroyed for lack of knowledge. O Lord, then it is not only lack of knowledge, but it is a heart that is rebellious against thee, that lives in the heart of each and every one of us, a heart that needs to be conquered, a heart that needs to be convinced, to be drawn unto thy blessed footstool. Oh, that thou may look upon thy own dear children, that thou may lead them more and more into thy truth, that they may be brought to an end of all that is of themselves, all that is of the law, which can only curse. Oh, that it may be felt also in this evening hour, that there may be a desire to be led into the blessed mysteries of the Son of God, the blessed redemption of thy church, that was hid from the eyes of those who did live at the time of the Reformation. O Lord, that thou may open the eyes of each and every one of us for the preciousness, for the blessedness thereof. O that we may forsake the world and every former friend for the sake of seeking that portion that is still to be received in the days in which we are living. Wilt thou look upon all those that are afflicted and sick, those that have received surgeries and that do recover, in their homes those also that must receive surgery? Thou knowest each one in their place. Wilt thou supply, wilt thou guide the hands of physicians? Remember those that are so very, very sick. Also that mother in the Netherlands, when slowly her life that is ebbing away, oh, that thou may remember her soul and visit her with thy salvation. Oh, give her a token for good in these days. And wilt thou thyself help her husband and her children and all that are round about her, and all those that do suffer, those that are old and ailing? Thou knowest all their cares and the fears also often of the heart. O Lord, that thou thyself may give what is necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace, that they also may seek and find thee. Appear, Lord, when the death does come to take away the life. Oh, that thou may appear, and that thou may come in the urgency of the need, when the cry may go forth in all of the distress of the soul. O Lord, that thou wouldst hear from heaven thy dwelling place. O look thou upon our children and our youth. Do instruct them in the days of their youth. We have sung it together, of the blessedness of thy house. O that they may feel it also in this evening hour, how good that it is to be together, and that they may see something of thy goodness in the place that thou hast given them in the midst of this world, in the family which they may be brought, and into thy house that they may come. And could it please thee to help in the bringing of thy word and in the hearing thereof? O help us, Lord. Wilt thou open that word, that we may receive a little liberty, that we may receive a little freedom, that we may bring it with clarity to the understanding of men, but may it be with power, a power of thy Holy Spirit, that may pierce to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. Oh, that it may fall as dew upon the dry ground, and that those that mourn may be comforted, and that those that do astray may be brought back, and that those that sorrow may rejoice. Oh, Lord, that those who are walking in a way of deceit may be uncovered, and that thy name in all things may be glorified and honored, We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 128, all the stanzas. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear, though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. We make the following announcements. The Lord willing, the youth group hopes to meet this coming Saturday in the congregation of Picture Butte. And there is one collection this evening for the Trinitarian Bible Society, Psalter 128, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, it was already a long, long time ago that the Lord has rebuked the rulers of the Church of God. We can read in the time of the Old Testament and that the Lord, He has spoken of them as saying that none calleth for justice, neither is there any that pleadeth for the truth. Thus we can read how that there were those among the authorities that did teach and that did judge for a reward, that did take a bribe, and so on. And so we see that the Church of God, even from the beginning, that has not been immune from the possibility of a great straying away, that did not just correct itself with a single admonition of the Lord. By the time that the Lord Jesus came upon the earth, then we can read that He has also rebuked the rulers in the synagogues, because He said of them that they laid burdens upon men which were grievous to be borne, but they themselves would not move those burdens with one of their fingers. That did not cease such a degradation with the Church of all ages. We see that even in the beginning of the Church history with Pelagius and other errors. And we see that certainly in the time of the Reformation, it is not difficult for error to enter into the Church because there is only one truth, but there are so many errors. And who is it that these errors do affect the most? That is not the religious professor. Because if we are sustaining our conscience with our religion, that we come and go from the place of the holy, and we remain a wicked man, then actually it makes no difference to us whether there is truth or error in the Church. But it is the true remnant of the Lord who are so affected by the error of doctrine. Why? Well, you know, in this world, that it is the rich. It is the rich ones who do persecute the poor. And that is not so only in a natural way. That is also in a spiritual way. It is the rich who are then persecuting the poor. With the help of the Lord, we wish to consider something of this with you in this evening hour. Out of the portion that was read to you, Hebrews 4, and there of the first part of the third verse, Hebrews 4, verse 3a, 4, we which have believed do enter into rest. So far, the Word of God. Entrance into rest. What this rest is, it says, do enter into rest. Second, the manner of entering into this rest. It says, for we which have believed, do enter into rest. Thus, entrance into rest. First, what this rest is. And second, the manner of entering into this rest. If we have heard, each one of us, this chapter the fourth chapter to the Hebrews, and we find over and over again the word rest mentioned in this chapter. And that is actually a very remarkable thing, that God should speak to his fallen creature about rest. And not only about rest, but also how the manner in which his fallen creature is able to enter into rest. Why is that such a remarkable thing? Well, because his fallen creature has rebelled against him. And his fallen creature was under his own punishment. His fallen creature was sent out of that Garden of Eden. He has forfeited by his sin all rest. We know that when Adam was in that garden, that he was given work to do. And we can read that, boys and girls. And we can read that he had to dress the garden and he had to keep the garden. And so he had work to do. But you know that that work of Adam, and that was not the same at that time as it is for us today. Because today the sun that beats down upon the heads of those that are laboring under it, and the wind that is blowing to make it so very cold, we only need to ask those who are laboring out in the fields and in the cold, how difficult that it is. That was not so with Adam. But the labor of Adam, that was a labor which was so enjoyable for him. That was not a wearisome laboring, but it has become through the fall so different. It has become through the curse so different. We can read that the Lord said that there shall be thorns and that there shall be thistles, and that man shall he shall eat the bread, his bread by the sweat of his face. We know that the Lord Jesus, he has also felt something, he has experienced something of this difficulty in laboring, and that was the curse for the sin of his people, because he also had no sin of his own. But we can read that he said to his disciples, "Come ye apart and rest a while," because we read there were so many coming and going that they had no leisure, no, not so much as to eat. Moses, when he was sent from that garden, Adam, when he was sent from that garden, he had to experience what that curse for sin was. And it is so many years later that Moses also has written about it. Because he wrote that the man, the strength of his life, the best part of his life, that is, young people, we would say when you are young and when you are strong and when you are growing and when things are not so difficult for you, the strength of the life of a man, he says, that is labor. And that is nothing but sorrow. The Lord said by Isaiah that there is no peace unto the wicked. There is no rest to the wicked. There is no tranquility to the wicked. That is a punishment for our sin, and we know what will happen. Because the Bible that is speaking about the punishment also of the wicked. The Bible speaks about those who are worshiping the beast and his image. Oh, that we would be kept. Boys and girls, I hope you are not jealous today when you look outside and when you see all those children. Oh, you must go on your knees for those children. And because they are being led astray. Oh, it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. But now when we, young people, when we will stray, especially under the knowledge of the truth, to live the life of those that are wicked, oh, what does the Lord say of us? He says that the smoke of their torment that is ascending up forever and forever, and that they have no rest, no rest, day nor night. Oh, we cannot fathom what that is. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Rest that is sought by whom? That is sought by those that are weary, those that are tired. So what are the things that make a man tired? Well, we say that is the labors of their hands. That is right, after the fall. After the fall, the labors of our hands, and at the end of the day, then we are seeking rest. We can read in the Bible also about adversities, how that they are causing weariness. The psalmist, he said, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest and teachest him out of thy law, that he may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked." Oh, adversity, trials, afflictions, do they make you tired? Do they make you weary? Oh, it is possible that there are enemies. And we know that God's children, they have enemies, and enemies, they will indeed make a man weary. And we can read also in the Bible how that Job, he is envying those that were in the grave. He says, "There the weary ones, they be at rest." Job, he knew what it was also to be weary. From what? Well, we read that he cursed the day of his birth. But he did not do that right away. No, he did not do that until the Lord permitted his body to be afflicted with pain, terrible pain. Sore boils all over his body, so that he had to take a potsherd to scrape himself with all. Oh, there is so much pain. There is even a disease, what they call the suicide disease. That is a disease that is so painful of the nerves that people, they cannot bear it anymore. And then they desire, like Job says, their soul that chooses strangling, their soul chooses death rather than life, because they have no rest, they have no relief. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Now our first point, what this rest is. So we want to ask ourselves this, what is this rest that the apostle is speaking about? Is that now rest from the physical labors? Is that now rest from weariness? Is it now rest from pain? Is it now a reprieve from all the afflictions and the trials of this life? Is it now a rest from the attacks of all the enemies that are coming on God's children? We read here in verse 2 that the Apostle Paul speaks about the Sabbath rest. He speaks about the rest. He says, when God did rest from all his works. Thus the Lord, he has set an example that we must rest, that others may follow that example. And then the apostle speaks here still about another rest. He says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Entered not in where? Know that, young people? They entered not in because of unbelief. You say they entered not into Canaan? That is right. What was Canaan? Well, Canaan, that was the land of rest, you say? That is what the promised rest for the children of Israel. The Lord, he has brought them out of bondage. That was affliction. The Lord, he has delivered them from their enemies. He has delivered them from the stripes, from the pain, from the anguish. He has given unto them their freedom. He has said that he was leading them. He brought them out of the land of Egypt, and he brought them out of the land of bondage, and he has brought them into the land of Canaan, into the land of rest. But we read here further, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? We have said that to you before. Who is that? Jesus. Most of the time when the Bible has the name Jesus, children, and it speaks about the Lord Jesus, but this time it is not. This time it is speaking about someone else, that is Joshua. Joshua was the one who brought the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, and he was the one to give them rest. So Joshua, that is just the Hebrew name, and Jesus, the Greek name. So here it is speaking about Joshua. And what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? So if the rest of Canaan, which was given unto the children of Israel, if that was the final rest, if that was now the final fulfillment of the promise of the Lord for the rest that he promised unto the children of Israel, then why afterwards did he speak about another day? Did he speak about another rest? Thus he says, there is another one beside that land of Canaan. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. And in the margin it says, there remaineth therefore a keeping of the Sabbath. That is another Sabbath, another rest. Our first point is what that rest is. Thus, it is not speaking about the actual Sabbath rest. It is not speaking about the rest from labor. It is not speaking about the rest from affliction, from pain. It is not even speaking about the rest that the children of Israel have received in the land of Canaan. I think, children, you are ahead of me already. You have in your mind already what we are going to say, right? You say, well, I think he is going to say that that rest means heaven. Say, that is the eternal rest. And that is true. That is the eternal rest. Oh, there is no rest like there is in heaven. And that is just something that we are not able to comprehend what that shall be. Yet, that is not actually that alone that which the apostle here is speaking about. Because here he speaks about a rest which is entered into already while a man is on the earth. That is, that he is beginning already to enter into that rest. That there is something of a harbinger. There is something of a beginning already here upon the earth of that true eternal rest. What does our text say? For we which have believed do enter into rest. The church is not delivered and promised a temporal rest here below. No, they are waiting for that. That will be given to them above. Here below, the Lord Jesus, he said, that it will be trials and afflictions. Through much tribulation, they have to enter into the kingdom of God. And yet Paul says, we which have believed do enter into rest. What kind of rest is that? Do you know what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 11? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. You will find rest for your soul. Well, what do we think of that? Rest for our soul. Say, I know what it means to need rest for my body. But are there now those that are here that understand the preciousness of what that means to receive rest for your soul? Oh, by nature we do not. Why not? Because we are not even aware that there is any unrest in our soul. That is not a good sign. When we do not feel any unrest in our soul, that was so different with Luther. It is so different with every soul. And that the Lord is giving true regeneration, because then the Lord, he is taking away that false peace, that false rest that is living within us. Oh, Luther, he was like David. He said, there is no soundness in my flesh, neither is there any rest in my bones. Because of what? Because of my sin. We have to appear before God. You and I. This day, when we would have to appear before God, a congregation between God and your soul, can we say also the same? That there is no rest. There is no rest in my soul because of my sin. Luther, that was a sad time that he went to the church that he may receive rest for his soul. And he was supposed to make a confession to the priest. And then he tried to get rest in that way. And when that priest would forgive him his sins, then he ought to receive rest. And then he would leave, and he went home again, And then he still had no rest. Why not? Well, because there were more things that he thought, well, I have not confessed everything. There are still sins that are unconfessed. And then he will go back again the next day. And he would say, oh, sir, I have forgotten something. I had an evil thought. I had a sinful motive. Oh, and so it happened. Day after day. Oh, that confessor, he actually became tired of Luther. Oh, he said, Luther, you have to leave it. He said, you are being so particular. Yeah. Do you say that too? When you see one of God's children under the conviction of sin, you say that, man, he is so particular. Oh, do not mock at that, young people. Luther was also, because if we have to appear before God, then there is nothing that is hid in the sight of God. Oh, that man, that priest, he could not satisfy Luther. He could not give Luther rest. The doctrine of that church that Luther was in, that was a doctrine that was not able to give rest unto the soul of a man. That is the work of the Spirit. It is more than notion. Something is known and felt. There is no man. There is no office bearer. There is no child of God that can give rest to a man, and that the Spirit of the Lord he has caused to be without rest. And yet, the Apostle Paul says here, he says, we which have believed do enter into rest. Oh, thus he says, there is a people that know something of a reprieve from all the unrest in the soul that is due to sin. Oh, there is no privilege that a man can receive in all this life but to have a knowledge, an experimental knowledge of this reprieve, a soul that cannot rest, and for the Lord to make him quiet. Or it may be in the midst of all kinds of troubles, maybe in the nation, in the business, in the home, all kinds of outward troubles, and rest in his soul. Oh, that is a rest that is prepared by God for his children, because that is a rest by which they can bear up under their burdens. That is a rest that is drawing them away from all that is here below. Oh, that they may seek that rest that is eternal. Is that now a rest that makes us jealous? Because the Apostle Paul says that we ought to labor to enter into that rest. Oh, then it is necessary that our soul that may be made jealous of the blessed portion of his people, that we may begin to labor also that we may receive that portion. You say, how do I receive it? That is what we want to consider after we sing 170. 1, 2, and 3. Praise waits for thee in Zion. All men shall worship there and pay their vows before thee, O God, who hearest prayer. 1, 2, and 3 of 170.
Thank you.
which have believed do enter into rest. The Roman Catholic Church denies all rest to the members of their church. That was the experience of the laboring soul of Martin Luther. But the Lord, He delivered Luther out of it, and at the same time He delivered us out of it. Is that not a wonder? Oh, do we see sometimes as something of the blessings of the Lord, that we may have truly an acknowledging heart? How did the Lord deliver Luther? How does the Lord deliver His people? Oh, He delivered him by His word. Do you know where that the Lord delivers His people? Very often, that is in His house. That is under the preaching of the word that has been instituted, that ministry for the sake of the explanation and the application of that word, that the Lord, He may bring it into the hearts of His people, and especially of those that labor. But that was not there in those days, because truth that had fallen in the streets, and so there was not a faithful preaching. Oh, how was Luther delivered? Luther was delivered by studying the Word of God. Oh, do we ever study the Word of God? Luther was delivered by the study of doctrine, the study of doctrine. He said, doctrine is heaven. You study doctrine, children, young people, you go to catechism. What would you say? Those answers, the questions and answers that you have to learn, that is doctrine. Luther says that is heaven. You say that is heaven? There are people, they speak about dry doctrine. Oh, let us be careful, because doctrine is not in itself dry. We are dry. That is what the apostle here says. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, same gospel, preached unto us as well as unto the Jews, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because it was dry? No, he says, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It was not the word. No, it was the people. He says there is no faith in that people. Therefore, they did not receive that doctrine. Luther says doctrine that is heaven. What is heaven? That is rest. Is it not? That is that highest rest. And now Luther experienced something of that rest in the study of the doctrine. Is that not something? Do you see the treasure that we have, young people? Treasure that we have here in the Word of God? There's heaven on earth that is to be experienced by young and old. Can I get that on the internet? You cannot get that with games and all sorts of other things, even the lawful things. Something of heaven is experienced by the true church in the study of His holy word. Will you do it? The just shall live by his faith. That was only a few words. Small as children, they can count them, how many that there are. Those few words, they were for the deliverance of the soul of Luther. Will you study that word? Will you read that word? Oh, and do as you do tonight, never leave your place empty, unlawfully, in that house of the Lord. And you come and you fold your hands and you say, oh Lord, one word. Maybe I cannot understand the whole thing, but could I have one word spoken unto my heart that would be for the deliverance of my soul? Because in one moment, the Lord, he delivered Luther. And he showed to Luther what his soul desired. He showed him how that his sins could be forgiven. He showed him how that he could receive rest for his laboring soul. Oh, the Lord came with light upon his word to show him how that a soul can stand justified in the sight of God. Oh, is that not what a laboring soul needs? That the Lord, he may open the heavens, that he may shine with his light, and that he may receive an insight into the blessed mysteries of the salvation, of the deliverance of the true people of the Lord. Oh, it was in one moment that Luther, he saw where that salvation does lie. Oh, it was in one moment that he did see where God is resting, that he is resting in that blessed mediatorial work of his only begotten Son. Oh, that the heart of God that is so satisfied, and that it is all accepted, the blessed active and passive obedience of his only begotten Son. Oh, then he could see something, he could feel something of the blessed freedom, of the blessed rest that was to be obtained. So now that soul is seeking that they may obtain that rest, or that is according to the word of the Lord Jesus himself. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Oh, there is no man that cometh unto the Father but by me. And so that soul, he is beginning to seek, and to seek it in a different manner that he has ever sought it before. And so Paul says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Because when the Lord, he is opening, when the Lord, he is revealing himself, then the Lord, he is giving faith also to believe it. So that soul does actually believe. Oh, that is what Bunyan tried to show us in his Pilgrim's Progress. When Christian, he is entering through that gate. Oh, then he did enter into God's rest. Say, oh, but he still had that burden on his back. He felt that. He asked that burden would be taken away, but he was told that burden was not going to be taken away just yet, but that he had to wait for that. You say, is that an entrance then into that rest? When that man, he was still toiling. He was still toiling under that burden even of the guilt of sin. Ah, that is true. But the word of God does not say that people, they have received that full and that final rest. But it says, we which have believed do enter into rest. Thus there is a beginning. Thus there is an entrance. Oh, that way, those gates, they have gone open. And then he is walking upon that way, never to leave that way again. Thus there is a tasting by that people who are laboring, who have so much unrest, who do not know where to go with that burden, who are cut off by that law of the Lord, to whom that Redeemer, he is revealed to their soul. Oh, that they may taste something, that they may see something. What do we read? We read that he rejoiced, oh, because he tasted something of that rest. Oh, then he saw where that rest was. Oh, then they begin to walk in that path of free and sovereign grace, that they are looking for more to be revealed of that rest. But now that little taste. He says, to enter into rest. That is now a mark. That is now a mark of that true church, whereby that true church may recognize true faith. It does not help to just speak about faith. It does not help just to speak about things that we have never experienced. Can we gain something from that? Sure you can. Because you can speak as God's children speak. And then you will gain maybe a reputation in the church. Maybe you will even gain an office in the church. But you gain nothing for your soul. You gain nothing before the countenance of God through religion. That is for the profit of the soul. And now there are many of God's children. They say, do I have faith? Has my soul ever truly believed in that Son of God? So how can I know that? Here you have the mark. We which have believed do enter into rest. Say, I do not know if I believed. I do not know there are different kinds of faith. Well, then we ask you, did you ever enter into rest? Was there ever the smallest entrance into the rest of God? Oh, with the sight, by the light of the Spirit of the Lord, what is now free and sovereign grace, at the end of that law, a laboring soul, and when he is given to see it, he is given to taste it. Rest. Rest. All you say was just a moment. Ah. But it was a moment. But it was a moment. It was very short, yes. Doesn't say in the Bible how much is tasted. But they have entered into it. They have entered into that mystery, and their soul that has rejoiced. Oh, they have felt it. Something is known. Something is felt. If that is not true, then you have a good mark. Then you have a good mark. Do you know why? Because the Apostle Paul, he says, we which have believed, do enter into rest. And you cannot enter, you cannot feel that rest. You can speak about it. You can think about it with your mind, but you cannot taste it. You cannot taste that rest unless there is the smallest portion of true saving faith. And then we can tell you what will happen for sure. Oh, then your soul that will so desire that you may have more of that rest. Oh, if you are laboring in the field, you come in, you say you can lay down just for one moment, then you have to get up again. Oh, you say, I cannot wait till I can sit down again. Oh, this people who have tasted that the Lord is gracious and who have for one moment entered into that rest, oh, the Lord has shown them where it is. They will never forget it. They are coming into that house of the Lord. Oh, they are saying, oh, Lord, may I hear thy name. Oh, may I hear it. And may I be given to taste something. Oh, you say it was so far away. Ah, it was so distant. I'm not sure. Do you know we read in the Bible, there were women. There were women, and they beheld that cross far off. They could not see everything like those who were near. Those who were nearby, they had that full view. But there were those who did not dare to approach. And from far away, and they still could see him. And their heart, oh, they stood there with a heart that bled for him. Oh, then it was a heart that had still seen him, even though that they had seen him so very far away, and they were conscious of what? They were conscious of what was living in their heart. That is now the important part. What is the important part? It is the fruit of faith. Fruit of faith. You say, what is faith? Do I have it? Well, what is experience? When faith is in exercise, if you may taste an apple, you say that is an apple tree. If there is no fruit on it, say, I don't know what kind of tree it is. But that apple, well, then you say, yeah, for sure that is an apple tree. It is the fruit. And when there is that moment to rejoice, oh, when there is that moment of rest in a laboring soul, oh, then it is that mark that is now the true saving faith. For we which have believed do enter into rest. What does that mean? That means that we that have not believed, we that have not believed, we do not enter into that rest. Oh, is there something in your heart that looks for that rest? Are there those that labor, and that have no rest? Oh, let's say I have never seen him. I have never felt it. I have never tasted it. Oh, our Father, say, may you quickly labor, work yourself to death, to the end of that law, because Christ, he is the end of the law, the Apostle Paul says, for righteousness unto those who believe. A congregation, for those who do not believe, Oh, they do not enter into that rest. Oh, could we make your heart jealous tonight of that rest, that you may know it, that you may experience that rest. Because outside of this, there is nothing but unrest. Unrest in this life and unrest after this life. Oh, the Lord Jesus, He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, He wept tears. He said, if only thou hadst known, at least in this thy day, the things that belong unto your peace. But now He says they are hid from your eyes. That is the way it is. There is hid from our eyes. Ask the Lord. Oh Lord, open my eyes that I may see, and that you may labor, that you may enter into this rest. Amen. Oh Lord of heaven and of earth, there is a rest that is waiting for the people of God. Or they may know a little taste. Or they may know, they may see just for a moment. They may know a moment's rejoicing. But it is heaven that is begun upon the earth. Oh, make them see it and to feel it and to taste it more. Because, O Lord, then their treasure, that will be more in heaven. And then they will not be so tied unto this world. Oh, draw us, Lord, that we might run after Thee. Give Thy blessing upon Thy word. Dismiss us with that blessing. Bring us each safely to our homes. Give us help upon with all the labors of our hands and a desire for Thy holy day. Forgive what was sinful in preaching and in hearing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 255, the fourth stanza. While He proffers peace and pardon, let us hear His voice today, lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. 4 of 255. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.